If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast. This is episode number 269. Feels like only yesterday it was 268. That was last week though. I'm Ben, and with me here today are two of the most beautiful boys you've ever met. Well, you've never met them, perhaps. But Davey is with us. Dave, how's it going?
I'm good. It's been a weird day. I've had one of those days where, number one, it was hot out a couple days ago, and now it's like snowstorming. Importantly, maybe it's because of the cold, but I have been eating all day and I am still hungry. I just cannot satiate my appetite no matter what I eat, and it's a really frustrating feeling. And I don't like it one bit.
Now, when you say you've been eating all day, like, have you just been like, hey, let me grab a handful of nuts? Ooh. Or has it been like actual food?
Like, I've had good meals that I've cooked and put together, and have had vegetables and protein and carbs and stuff, and I'm still just feeling the need to eat more, and it's not cool. I don't like it.
Yeah. I sometimes don't eat for, like, I'll get to, like, lunchtime, and I'm like, I'm really hungry. My wife's like, well, yeah, it's lunchtime. And I'm like, yeah, but I just realized I didn't eat yesterday. Like, I'll go a whole day without, if I'm like nose down working on something, I do not get hungry. And I drink like a metric ton. I don't think you measure water in tons. I don't know how you measure water, but I drink like a lot of water throughout the day. So like, that's probably a lot of what keeps me not thinking about, you know, being hungry. And I'm just working and I just don't think about, that's the same way with sleep. Like, I'll work till 8 a.m. some days. Not as often as I used to, but sometimes it'll be 8 o'clock in the morning and my wife will come knock on the door. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing awake? And she's like, it's
you
light
see the
outside.
Daylight, Ben, and you start hissing at her.
The children are awake. Like, what do you, we've already started school. Like, right. Yeah. I just, my, all those senses that you're supposed to have, like getting tired and getting hungry, just disappear when I'm invested in something. And it could be a video game, or it could be, I mean, most of the time it's work when I really get lost like that, but.
So I think, Ben, I'm going to Venmo you some of my appetite because I've got too much today and you don't have enough. So we'll just do it that way.
Yeah, I should not be as fat for as little as I eat. And maybe the problem is I don't eat at normal people intervals. I don't know. But Brandon, rubbing his eyes, getting the sleep out. Speaking of sleeping, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I keep falling asleep on the couch like multiple nights a week. Mm. And like, I'm like, all right, you're falling asleep. You should get up.
Yeah.
Then I just let my body do it anyway. I don't know, buddy. It's just the couch takes me. And then, you know, sometimes I get up at 11. Sometimes I get up 2 hours before I have to go to work. It all just depends on how it goes. And my back doesn't really enjoy it the next day. But hey, I like it that night. It sure does feel good.
Now, Brandon, I'm also someone who I like to just, if I fall asleep, just leave me there. Because right. I don't want to, if I'm tired and I get up and try to go to bed, then I won't fall asleep. But if I'm already asleep, but if you just leave me there, it's fine. But what I notice is, like, this has happened throughout my entire life with my parents, with roommates I lived with my wife. Like, when I'll be falling asleep, like while we're watching a TV show or something, and somebody will be like, hey, wake up, you're falling asleep, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm awake. But I'm actually asleep and I know it, but for whatever reason, that asleep part of my brain is right. Like, shut up. I'm awake. Do you do that? Is that a thing you do?
It's mostly just to get them to leave me alone.
They're right.
Like, hey,
yeah.
They're like, hey, you're falling asleep. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. I guess my brain is just kind of like, if I tell them I'm not, maybe they'll just stop bothering me and I could sleep in peace. I think that's what it is for me.
I just don't know why my brain, while I'm asleep, decides, even, I mean, and I can be fully conscious, but still, like, sure. I'm definitely falling asleep. And my body is just like, you should go to bed. But my brain is like, nah, I'm awake, man. What are you talking right. about? It doesn't make any sense.
That's a very dad thing to do, to be like, I'm not falling asleep, when you're just clearly,
yeah,
very obviously have been sleeping for an hour. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like,
I've never used the line, I'm just resting my eyes. But a couple weeks ago on like a Sunday afternoon, you know, we got home from church and I was, you know, we'd eaten lunch and we were sitting on the couch watching something. And one of my kids was like, Dad, I was like, what? Like, you're falling asleep. And I'm like, why is that a problem? Like, I just got, I was right. asleep. I was like tired. I just got real gruff with him. I was like, why is it a problem? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't either. Leave me alone. I felt bad about it, but.
Dude, classic Ray, my dad.
Yeah.
Ray Duncan, is he will very clearly and very obviously be sleeping, like snoring, in fact. Mm-hmm. And then he does, when he does wake up, he's like, damn, I almost fell asleep there. It's just like every time he could like actually be sleeping for like an hour and a half or 2 hours and he'd be like, holy shit, I almost fell asleep.
Do you ever, not to belabor this topic, but you know, this is a show about sleeping patterns after all, and sometimes video games. Do you ever you'll wake yourself up because you're like starting to snore or something, and you know that like during that time where you were snoring, you were also kind of awake at the same time. It's like that twilight in between, like,
right.
I'm not fully asleep, but I'm also not actually awake. And I'll, like, wake myself up snoring, like, on the chair
I'm,
or something.
I mean, that's like, a deep, when a I'm thing. Snoring, I'm deep, deep asleep. Because I tell my wife to wake me up if I'm snoring. And I'll just, mm-hmm. like, be having the wildest dream, like I'm in Super Mario Wonder or something like that. My wife wakes me up. She's like, stop snoring. Turn on your side. And I'm like, I was not snoring. I get really defensive, like. So, yeah, no, if I'm snoring, I'm like way out.
I think I missed a really good chance at being narcoleptic because I fall asleep. If I'm tired and I'm sitting still, I'll fall asleep. If I'm not like engaged in something, no problem. I'll fall right asleep. And then the other thing is I will have full conversations with my wife and children. And they'll be, the one day we were supposed to go somewhere and I was like, oh, I just woke up. I'm late. And she's like, what do you mean you just woke up? I'm like, what do you mean I just woke up? And she's like, we had a full conversation like half an hour ago and you said you were awake. And I was like, no. And she's like, yeah, we said this and this and I asked you this question. And I was like, I have no recollection of that at all. And it was half an hour ago. So,
dude, honestly,
sleep's weird.
I was going to say, there's a Rick and Morty episode about this, but if we could just get our sleeping selves to do the things we didn't want to do in our awake life, there's literally an entire Rick and Morty episode about this. It goes very poorly, but we need to figure that out. Science needs to advance enough to where my sleeping unconscious body can do the things I don't want to do, like the laundry and the dishes and taxes.
Right. Man, taxes. I got to do that soon. If I even have my taxes ready, I don't know. I've got so many different like things and stuff that's like still applicable from years ago, even though I'm not involved in it anymore, that hasn't like come through from an accountant. I do my own taxes, but that comes with some irritating parts when you have like I literally have to get a form that will say I have $0 made this year because of an entity that I'm still a part of technically, legally, but it doesn't exist anymore. But I have to file that with my taxes. So I can't do my taxes until that comes through. It's a whole thing. Anyway, this is the HP podcast.
I was waiting for this is a podcast about video games.
We do usually talk about video games, but we got a little bit of a lighter load this week. Although, you know, we'll probably still go the normal amount of time. We'll see. Doesn't hurt to have a little banter here and there.
Sure.
I suppose. But if you're here listening, if you're here watching us live, we are live on YouTube every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern. We appreciate that. If you're joining us via, if you're here later, if you weren't live, that's totally fine too. If you're listening to us on either Patreon or free feeds, we appreciate you there as well. If you are an audio listener, we know there are many, many more of you on audio than there are in video. You can support us, if you're not already, over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. We appreciate it very much. You can support us for as little as $1 a month. If you're an audio listener, you get ad-free early access to the show. If you're somebody who watches on YouTube, well, you just get to say thank you with your $1 or more a month. We appreciate that. It helps us keep the lights on. Tonight, my lights almost literally didn't turn on. I mean, they didn't. I had to restart my computer, restart the lights. It was a weird thing. You can also join us on Discord, where there are no lights to worry about whatsoever, at handsomephantom.com/discord. We have a good time there. We hang out. We mock each other. It's actually a really uplifting.
Make fun of, unless you're from Ohio, right?
Yeah, no, there's no Ohio love. I mean, I was born in
Ben
Ohio.
Ben is from Ohio, so. Yeah.
I haven't lived there since I was 4 years old, but I'm still from there, I guess, technically.
Even he denounces it.
Yeah, it's true. Let's talk about number one. The Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection has faced a rocky launch, with Steam user reviews now sitting at overwhelmingly negative. Boys, let me tell you something for a minute here. I've been using Steam for 15 or 17 years now. Maybe longer, honestly. No, definitely longer. I did not know there was something below negative.
Overwhelmingly negative? I knew that.
It's very rare you ever see overwhelmingly
There's
negative.
There's a level below that. That's just, did you know that? It's just wait, what is it?
But Aspyr, the company behind the collection, acknowledges critical errors with network infrastructure that led to high ping, matchmaking errors, crashes, and server visibility issues. Despite promising to address these issues and improve network stability, their statement lacks detail and doesn't address all player concerns, such as audio glitches and controller support. The collection's massive download size, I think it's something like 68 gigabytes, compared to the original games, also remains unexplained. As players await further updates, there's hope that Aspyr will resolve these issues and deliver the experience fans deserve. Now, guys, I was excited about this announcement about the game coming out, but I wasn't, like, I have a lot of other stuff to play right now. Let's think about diving in, but this is, I'm not real hopeful. Brandon, you were shaking your head there. What's the deal?
I mean, it's just kind of concerning. Aspyr has been a company that I have for a long time now thought kind of sucked. the Civ ports I've played on Mac, and I know it's a Mac port, but it's a port nonetheless, and it's a game, and it should work. I don't know. Is Aspyr mostly just a port studio?
They have been for a long time, but they've started getting into like remakes and remasters, and apparently,
so they can't even do what they can't even do what they do well.
Right.
This is just really concerning, especially with a couple of games here that are just so legendary, even to myself included. And I've heard just absolutely tragic things about the server issues. A guy I work with has been trying to play and has had nothing but problems. I also see absolutely no reason that this game would have to be as large as it is. I wonder if it's just incredibly poorly optimized space-wise. Honestly, I don't know. It just sucks because this is a couple games that are really beloved. And the fact that, you know, it kind of got put in the hands of somebody who didn't care much about it. I mean, this is something that we keep seeing over and over again as we get it, but at what cost? It's almost like I had wished that it wouldn't have come out at all and I could have just popped in my old disc. So, yeah, I don't get this. I hope they fix it, but I'm not really holding my breath because for as long as I tried to play my Civ port from Aspyr, it didn't work well, and then I just eventually stopped. So I'm hoping that's not the case for everybody that's interested in playing this classic collection, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Dave, I remember many fond memories with Battlefront, the old versions of Battlefront. I think I even still have the CD case where I played one of the Battlefront games. It was like four CDs. You had to install three of them and play with the fourth one or something like that. But it seems like Battlefront, whether it's this collection, whether it's the new Battlefront games that EA put out, whatever, all of them have just had such a terrible time, either whether it's during launch or long term. Why? Why is such a beloved IP getting mistreated like this?
I don't know. I really don't. But it's very unfortunate. And Aspyr, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the same company that did that KOTOR 2 port to the Switch that you couldn't finish, like there was a completion bug.
That is accurate.
So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know right there. But, I mean, even kind of building off a little bit further from just the curse of Battlefront is this curse of remasters. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But it really sucks that gamers are kind of in a position now after the GTA collection where they have to be very wary about these, you know, is this a true Capcom-esque remake slash remaster, or is this a cash grab? Because after a couple of examples in the past couple of years, it seems like if you really want to get into this game and get excited about it on day one, you're taking a big risk. And this is just another example of that, unfortunately. I don't know how this game was positioned when it was first unveiled, and I think it was just only recently unveiled that this was coming. But when I first saw it, my mind instantly went to remaster. So not a remake, but you know, this is a re-release. It sounds like they're going to do some work on it, brush it up a little bit. But if you look closely, it clearly says Classics Collection. So this is a repackage. And I think they took some of the maps from Battlefront 2 and put them into Battlefront 1, and they added a couple new characters. In fairness to Aspyr, this was not technically a remaster. So I think a lot of people saw it as that way and, you know, maybe got more excited for it than Aspyr kind of assumed. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're dealing with Star Wars. Anytime you even repackage something Star Wars, people are going to flock to it. So you got to add some server capacity. You got to do some play testing. You got to make sure everything's in line for when you launch this thing, even when it is what we now know is it's a cash grab. It's a repackage. That's all this was. So I don't know. I never really loved the Battlefront series, but I do remember like pre-ordering the second one as a kid and leaving school at lunchtime to go and pick it up from EB Games, which is now GameStop. And so, you know, when I saw this, I was looking forward to kind of jumping in and rekindling some of those memories, but it just kind of sucks that it's been given to Aspyr. So I do wonder how many more chances Aspyr is going to have at this kind of stuff, because this is not the first time they've screwed something like this. And as you say, Ben, this is big IP that they're fucking with. So yeah, I don't think we're going to see much more of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this information I saw on a tweet, so I have not verified this, but something I saw when the game first came out was somebody complaining about the port, and they were like, it's, you know, the game's fine, whatever. You can play the game, there's issues, and it's too big, but it's fine. But the problem was, according to this person that I don't even remember who it was on Twitter, somebody with a lot of followers, I think, is they had three servers with 32 players each, and that was it. And now, whether that's actually they only had three servers, or as they say, you know, there were issues that prevented server visibility, who knows? But the fact that, like, I don't know that there were hundreds of thousands, but there were probably thousands of people who got this and were trying to play it on release day. And the fact that there were not enough lobbies for even 100 people to play, let alone a couple thousand, it's kind of irritating. I don't get it, man. Aspyr, you know, I want to see good things from them because they've been given some really precious IP over the years to do what they will with. And have they had Aspyr? Did they do Dead Space? No. Who am I thinking of here? Aspyr. Let me look them up here. Okay, we're getting there. Lists of games. Sid 6, as Brandon mentioned. I think that's the one you were talking about.
Yep.
The re-release of a couple of Lucasfilm games. Tomb Raider 1 through 3 remastered.
Big IP.
Have they not? It's big IP, regardless. But I thought that they had made a couple of their own games, but I guess not.
Dude, they're not even good at what they do.
Well, they've published over 190 games since 1996.
Well, they shouldn't. They should.
And
stop.
They've been owned by Embracer since 2021.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but they got to stop.
Embrace the gamer.
Yeah.
More like it. Get your shit together.
Embracer is closing better studios than Aspyr. So
literally.
Yeah. Well, and they used to be under what's the one? Saber. They used to be under Saber Interactive. Like Saber owned them. And then Embracer bought Saber. And then Embracer sold Saber, but I think that Aspyr is still under Embracer, is the way that works. I don't know. It's a whole mess. Speaking of a mess, let's talk about AI in video games. Number two, a recent report by Unity indicate. Okay, real quick, inside baseball. Anytime I go to like read something and one of these other guys like highlight it in our Google Doc, it throws. I'm like, did somebody just delete that? I don't know why my mind goes to like, where did it go? Because it's literally just highlighted, but it's fine. A recent report by Unity indicates that 62% of game development studios are now integrating AI tools into their processes, aiming to improve efficiency and reduce time to launch. AI is primarily utilized for character animations, code writing, art and level generation, narrative design, and playtesting automation. Prototyping and world building are also key areas benefiting from AI adoption, with 68% of developers using AI for faster prototyping and 56% for world building, including NPC creation. Despite the growing adoption of AI, some developers express their hesitancy due to time constraints or lack of technical expertise. However, overall sentiment towards AI in the industry appears to be shifting positively, with a majority recognizing its potential benefits. Let me skim through a little bit of this. While AI is increasingly prevalent, it's unlikely to fully replace human creativity. However, challenges remain, particularly in areas like voice acting. This is another part I want to get into, where AI-generated content faces criticism and resistance from actors, such as, what was that game called? The Finals, that came out later last year. Boys, I wanted to talk about this because 68% of all people using AI tools in their process sounds like a lot, and it is. But I also know that for literal decades, people have been using things inside of Unity and Epic, or I guess it's Unreal, you know, like a tree plugin so that they can make woods in their game and it just automatically populates them all across the board. So like AI, the term AI in all these video games is scary, but is it as scary as some people would want us to believe? I'm kind of in a mixed bag about it. Brandon, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of touched on AI a bunch in the past year or two, but I really do think it's more of a supplementary tool than anything else. I'm in agreeance with you, honestly. There are a lot of things that people might not first come to mind that is AI, but are tools that people have used for a long time to kind of help speed up the process of developing games, which keeps getting longer and longer and more expensive. So even though I think that, you know, 68%, some people might think like, oh, the jobs are going away. It can't replace humans. It just can't. And maybe at some point there'll be AI that can create something that is worth looking at or worth playing. But for the most part, it's just there to scrub stuff. For the most part, it's there to break down the tedium. It can't think for itself. It can't be creative. It can't make something look beautiful. It can create, but is it anything worth just what they made and that's it? I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be games in the next couple of years that are like, this was made entirely with AI and it's going to be soulless. It's going to be an Ubisoft game. I'm sorry, Dave. I just had to poke fun at Dave.
If Skull and Bones had been made with AI, it would have been out 6 years ago, okay?
I'm teasing. But what I'm saying is that that's just the thing about these computers is it's not a replacement and it's not going to be a replacement for a long time. And anyone who's that scared about it should probably hone their own craft, because you're not replaceable if you're better than what a non-thinking computer can do. Now, I'm not saying all jobs are safe. We're talking about QA testers and stuff like that. But at the same rate, well, maybe that sort of job could go away because of AI, because you think about an algorithm running a million possibilities. It's like, I think creative things will be safe from AI. I'm not sure that all jobs will. Scrubbing code, stuff like that, can potentially be bad for people, for humans. But I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and it's kind of developed over the past couple of years. But I'm kind of trying to figure out how I feel about it as it progresses, because it's progressing fast.
Yeah. Dave, as fast as it's progressing, we're finding, you know, technology used to like outdate itself. I think it was every 18 months, and I imagine that will only continue to speed up. If you think about the fact that It took us 19, no, it took us thousands of years to be able to get a little rinky-dink airplane to fly. And then like 30 years later, we're on the moon. And like there's, you know, all sorts of examples of things like that that just take forever. And then all of a sudden, once it breaks through, it breaks through. Once AI breaks through, do we have to worry about our video games even more?
I think so. The question is like, if AI became self-aware, what kind of game would it make? Is Stellar Blade, like, is that the AI self-aware game?
Dude, no. Only a human could make something as beautiful as that, as artistic and as creative. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That is the mark. That is the seal that we will be able to tell from all time.
It's weird to think, but so from this, you know, what you read here, Ben, it says 68% of developers are using AI for et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They use this word named word building, and it seems a bit vague to me because I feel like world building can mean a lot of things, some a little bit more mundane and some a little bit more creative. I guess if you're telling an AI, you know, populate X area with this texture and this foliage and stuff, which was pre-created by a human, I guess that type of world building. But I just think that's a really vague kind of term that they're using. And I feel like AI has probably already started to creep into some examples of where, you know, traditionally a human would have been responsible for creating something. And I just feel like it's going to be really easy for AI to do these things. And we've seen some examples, like, I think, was it there was some key art for Duke Nukem or something where it came out after the fact that, yeah, that was AI. And it's like, unless, you know, someone hadn't taken a second look at that, I think it was hand was weird or something, then no one would have known. So I think we're being a little naive, assuming that we're going to know when, you know, the creative aspects of a video game are AI created. But I don't think when, you know, the big, ugly, evil corporations like EA and Ubisoft start doing this, I don't know if they're going to be that transparent about it because, you know, Brandon, you alluded to it. Games are getting more expensive and they've become more expensive than ever to create. So anytime one of these companies has a chance to cut a corner and save a dollar, they're going to do it. So, you know, the grunt work is already starting to be replaced, you know, prototyping, play testing, coding. So that's just the beginning. But I mean, once, you know, these big publishers find ways to save on writing and you know, texture creation and that kind of stuff that, again, was traditionally done by a creative mind, once they can find ways to save costs on that, like, what's stopping them? Why wouldn't they do that? I understand there's things like the SAG-AFTRA, you know, strike that, you know, would have prevented some of this in when it comes to writing and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know that AI being mutually exclusive from creativity in video games is going to be mutually exclusive for very long, because these are businesses that are creating these games. So I don't know. I think it's not going to be long before we see entire games created by AI and maybe fine tuned by a human eye. But we just got to remember that these are businesses and you know, the less amount of money they can spend on creating something, the better. So yeah, sorry. I know that's a little negative, but I don't know.
No, I think that's good though. That's observant in my opinion. And just to clarify that, since I'm, you know, the world's foremost expert on Duke Nukem, that was the Evercade collection. Evercade's like a little handheld console. I think it's only handheld. And they put out a collection for them all, and yeah, they got roasted for it, which I didn't even know that many people were paying attention to the Evercade to notice that there was something, because it was pretty minimal, but that was what that was. But yeah, Dave, I think you're right. I think that, you know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, even something as rudimentary as changing someone or like making someone's voice, making it sound like you're talking to, I don't know, Elon Musk, because that's what I've seen a lot recently, or that if you told me that I'd see, you know, these little videos of Joe Rogan endorsing products that he's never even heard of, I'd have been like, yeah, that's probably not going to be believable, but it is, like, it very much is. So yeah, Brandon, you're right. Can AI right now create something that a human can't? No, not in my opinion. Not that's good. But what about when it can? Because
right,
unless somebody steps in, I don't think the people who are working on AI are going to slow down, and AI is going to get to the point where it's working on itself. So I'm very much a fan of using AI as a tool. For instance, I made an image today. There was a piece of it that needed replaced. I cut out that image. I put a little box around it and said generative AI, and it replaced that part of the image with something that looked exactly like it should have been there. That's great. That was a tool that I used. It's exactly what I needed. That part of the picture was destroyed. It had to be like, there was no way to restore it other than using this tool, for me at least. But once it gets to the point where it can create a picture of your great uncle Mickey that you haven't, that died when you were 5 years old, and you want a picture of you and then you as a baby and him together, and it can make that, that's kind of creepy. You know, that's the kind of scary stuff. So
right.
I don't know, man. Number three. On March 19th, 2024, so that's yesterday. No, today. Concerned Ape released the highly anticipated version 1.6 update for Stardew Valley. This update introduced multiple pets, a mastery system for late game skills, and new festivals, sparking an urge in player activity. Now, none of us are really, you know, Stardew Valley players. At least not religiously. I've played a good bit, but... anyway, the thing I was interested in mostly here was within hours, the game hit a new peak concurrent player count on Steam, reaching 121,882 players. I think the previous top was like 78,000 or something like that. Highlights of the update include new festivals like the Desert Festival and mini fishing events, a new Meadowlands farm type, and a world map for Ginger Island. Brandon, that's for you. We're also added, while the patch notes are extensive, the version 1.6 update is currently exclusive to the PC release. Guys, have either of you done much dabbling with Stardew?
A bit, yeah. Yeah, I think a bit on my Switch.
I think it's such a cool story. The game is a cool story of how it was made. One guy worked on it by himself, would stay home and like not do anything and, you know, have to lie to his partner about what he did all day when she got home. But eventually he put it out, has made millions and millions of dollars, still working on it. Still putting it out there. It's still selling. You know, there's a multiplayer edition for it now. But I just wanted to bring up, again, another high concurrent player count. Dave, when are you going to get on the PC train and join these Steam charts with us?
Well, my computer could run Stardew Valley, so why the hell not?
Well, that's true. That's
I was curious. Stardew Valley, I feel like, has been out for a long time, and I had to check it out. So February 2016. So this update came out almost 7 years to the day since the launch of the game. But yeah, 7 years, this guy's made bank on this game, and this update is free. I feel like if Concerned Ape released Stardew Valley 2, like at any point, he would make double what he's made on Stardew Valley 1, just because of the popularity that this game has had. And it's cool that instead he's decided to just continue to iterate and improve on the game he already has. And he's probably not going to make as much new revenue, but I'm sure he still sold a whole lot of copies today. And I also got to thinking, like, what about Stardew Valley has made it such like an evergreen game on streaming and for content creators? Because, again, this is a game that's 7 years old, and it's probably one of the more successful games concurrently on Twitch. It's just people love watching people play this game. And I don't know if it's just, you know, the chill vibes or just the charm, the simplicity. I think it's kind of familiar for a lot of people too, because a lot of people have played The Sims. A lot of people have played Animal Crossing. A lot of people have played other games that are kind of similar to this, but I don't know. It's just weird to me that this game is just had such long legs. It's a great story, but it's cool to see. It really is.
Yeah, it's kind of got the Harvest Moon effect and the Minecraft effect. And it is very creative in a lot of ways. The additions they've made over the years, whether it be the multiplayer or this new version 1.6, it's very heartwarming to hear that he's still making content for this, and that clearly it's still something that he enjoys, even after all of the success. As far as the game goes, I enjoyed it mostly. I think it'd be a lot of fun to play with somebody, but if I wanted a woman to reject me, I would just talk to one in real life. that's kind of, you know, I brought you this pumpkin seed. Kill yourself. I'm just kidding. They don't say that in the game, but that would be funny.
It feels like it, though, when you get rejected.
It does. When you get rejected and they're like, oh, no, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I picked it for you.
Right.
But no, this is good. This is good. This is very good. And yeah, I'm pleased to see that it has continued success. Kind of smashing some numbers it's never smashed before is actually pretty crazy for a game of this age.
So. Yeah, what, 6-7 years into the life cycle, breaking new records? That's
as indie as it can get. Really, no really publisher, cool. One person.
Yeah. I think they did. Maybe they worked with a publisher after the fact on like porting it somewhere or something, but I can't remember specifically. But yeah, from the beginning, it was literally one dude working for years on it. And incredible game for sure. Number four, Valve's top 100 list reveals that Baldur's Gate 3 was the most played game on Steam Deck from March 2023 to 2024. Following closely behind were Vampire Survivors and Dave the Diver. Interestingly, this list includes games like Pal World and Grand Theft Auto 5, both listed as playable rather than verified. This means they function on Steam Deck but may require additional configuration. Baldur's Gate 3's popularity is evident, having recently received several awards, including Game of the Year at the DICE Awards and the Game Awards. Now, I wanted to talk about this, one, because we talk about all consoles. We talk about Steam. Steam Deck is... I know neither of you guys have dabbled. I just recently got a Steam Deck. But it's becoming more and more and more of the way people play. I'm amazed at how often I see someone talking about Steam Deck. And seeing these numbers, yeah, they do follow some similar trends. You know, if you look at the top games on Steam overall for the year, and then look at Steam Deck, there are some omissions there, of course, and some substitutions, but for the most part, a lot of them make sense. But Baldur's Gate 3 is not a game I would have anticipated being popular on the Steam Deck, and it's the number one game, and... number one game for the last year, and it hasn't even been out a full year. But Brandon, as the other Baldur's Gate connoisseur here, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly, you know, we've talked many times about the success of this game. I like to see that people are able to actually play it on their Steam Deck. I don't know if you've tried it, Ben, but I feel like it would be a cool in-depth experience to be able to take with you. I feel like a lot of the times when you're doing something on the go, you don't really get that caliber of game on the go. And so that's kind of cool to see. Personally, the Steam Deck for me hasn't really grabbed my interest yet. But I'm kind of watching it. Honestly, depending on how the Switch 2 or, you know, whatever the Switch 1 successor is, it's like I might think twice and I might just get a Steam Deck instead. Yeah. But
if you want to play anything that's not a Nintendo game, it'll be hard to do on the Switch too.
Yeah.
Unless you're Dave.
I get it, but I also just don't. If I never play another Nintendo game, I'd probably be okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like yeah. You're not a Nintendo guy, so what do you care about the Switch?
Yeah. And not that I don't want to. Like, I do enjoy a lot of the Nintendo games I play, but it's just, yeah, this is really awesome to see, and especially Dave the Diver on there and Vampire Survivors, like, the top of the charts are some really heavy hitting amazing games, and I'd love to see that.
Dave, you are known for being the handheld gamer amongst us. Not predominantly, but you do play a lot more handheld than the other two of us do. What do you think? Steam Deck in your future? Are you intrigued at all by it? And Baldur's Gate, most popular on Steam Deck. Very much a mouse and keyboard game to me. What do you think of that?
I'll start with the Baldur's Gate thing. This isn't a surprise to me just because this game last year was popular everywhere. So, I mean, anywhere you can get it, people were playing it. And I think it just kind of goes to show the power of the Steam Deck. People want to take their PC games with them. And, you know, if I was sitting here at my desk and, you know, I had my Steam Deck beside me and I had my PC here, 99% of the time I'd be playing on my PC. So, you know, anytime you get up and go, you know, I think you'd want to take Baldur's Gate with you. And it being such a long game, I think people kind of had to take it with them on the go if they wanted to complete it. So again, just a testament to how popular this game was that people are kind of playing it in sort of a lesser experience than and still being satisfied with it. The other part of this story that I want to talk about is this kind of verified versus playable aspect of the Steam Deck. I received my Nintendo Switch as a gift. And if I hadn't have gotten it as a gift, I don't know if I ever would have gone out and actually bought my own Switch. But I'm very, very happy I did receive this as a gift, because I love having the ability to take my games on the go. And just given the last year I've had, it's just been such a game changer for me, being able to, you know, play a game at somebody else's house or whatever. But the other thing I really like the Switch is, whether I'm playing in handheld mode or in docked, I'm getting, as near as makes no difference, the same experience. Yes, you know, you're going to get some different video quality differences on the screen than you would handheld, whatever. But generally speaking, you're playing the same game. I do not like that with the Steam Deck, you kind of have to make concessions and you're taking a bit of a risk, because there could be a chance that a game you really, really want to play on your Steam Deck in the future is not verified. And I feel like Valve is in a position with Steam and with Steam Deck where they could make it a requirement for any developer putting, or any publisher putting, a game on their storefront, that you must make your game 100% verified for Steam Deck. If Microsoft can do it with Xbox Series X and S, and Nintendo can do it with, you know, their Switch on handheld and dock, then I just feel like Valve shouldn't have this in their hardware. Like they're better than that. And it's honestly been something that's always kind of been a detriment for me wanting to actually make an investment in a Steam Deck, because my experience with the Switch tells me that I would play my Steam Deck, but I just don't like the idea that I might have to make a concession and I wouldn't really know until the game actually came out. So,
well, Dave, let me stop you. And this is just this is something I didn't know until I got a Steam Deck and started looking into it more. I knew a little bit of it, I guess, but the Steam Deck verification, you're 100% right. All games should be verified on Steam Deck. I think that's a valid point, but there are a couple of factors that go into that. One, Steam is like really stringent with what they say can be verified and whatnot. And one of those things is like, if your game runs perfectly, everything's great, all the controls work perfectly, but the text is a little too small to read, it will show up as not supported. So there's a magnification feature on the Steam Deck, and there's a couple games I've played that's the one thing that, like, they even give you like a checklist. The text is a little too small. Okay, well, I just zoom in and read it or hold it closer to my face. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, you know, I guess there are a lot of older games that maybe don't fit the requirements. Launchers can give you, if you have a launcher, like if you play Mass Effect on Steam, it's going to pop up an EA launcher. Well, that can sometimes throw you for a loop on Steam Deck. And maybe Steam Deck should make them remove that requirement, but, you know, EA is not going to do that. The other thing is, you cannot ask for or have your game certified, have your game verified on Steam Deck. So, like, for instance, at Lilimo, the studio I work for, we have 4 games that are out on Steam. One day we just woke up and Hebraxia, I think it was Hebraxia 2, was verified. We had tried for months, no response. All of a sudden, they just verified it. A little while later, like right as we were putting out Hebraxia 1, because we put it out on Steam after we put out everywhere else, it got verified like almost immediately. We have 2 other games, Twin Breaker and Super Perils of Baking. Both of them, I've played them both the full way through. Both of them run flawlessly. There's nothing wrong with them. They work perfectly on handheld. We've even put in like controller outputs or controller overlays for them. So you can switch your control, whatever. It's a really common thing on Steam Deck, and they're just not verified because Steam hasn't chosen to review them for verification yet. So I think there's a lot of validity with what you're saying, but I will also say, just because the game isn't verified on Steam Deck doesn't mean it doesn't run flawlessly. And they haven't even made a way for people to apply to get their games verified on Steam Deck, which is kind of frustrating as a developer side. So just wanted to give that background for everybody, because a lot of it, unless you either have a Steam Deck or you work on games, you just wouldn't know. Right. And they don't tell you. So that's also frustrating, in my opinion. If you see a game that says not supported, you're assuming it's just not going to work. Well, really, there's a built-in thing. You can limit your frame rate to 40, and you can use the magnifier if you really need to for small text or something like that. There's very few games that just will not, that you buy through Steam, you know, properly, that just straight up won't boot.
On the Steam Deck. And everything you just said, Ben, nice. The average consumer does not know. And it just seems really cumbersome to me. And I just feel like Valve could easily, you know, put that on developers. And I don't understand why they don't. But in any case, it's it's might be worth a shot someday. But yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy my Steam Deck now. I don't play it as much as I would like to. Now, granted, since I've gotten it recently, I've been at my computer a lot more doing work stuff than I would prefer to be. But with that said, I really enjoy it for the times where I'm able to get away from my computer. So, Dave had the idea this week, before we talk about what we've been playing, to do a quick little resolution check-in. Resolution check-in. So it's only, you know, it's only March, but this is our quarterly check-in, I suppose.
Sure.
Dave, let's start with you.
Yes, sir.
And we'll just, this is just yes or no's. And you can explain if you want, but have you played and completed Nier Automata? No. Have you built a physical collection? Which, clarifying, is buying 5 games on GameCube and or Switch that you want to play.
More than halfway there. So I bought 3 games recently, so I got to buy 2 more. So, well on my way for that one. Feeling good.
I'm gonna go back to our previous conversation. Sailor brought up Proton DB is very good for checking what works on Steam Deck. I would agree with that. It's not an official Steam thing, but there's a website where people will go and, like, if a game's not officially supported or whatever, even if it is, because there are some games that are verified that suck on Steam Deck, which is really funny. But you go on Proton DB, people can leave reviews, tell you exactly what to change. I had a game that was like, I was getting constant flashing and they were like, change this one setting, and I changed it and it was perfect. So anyway, moving on. Dave, have you played more with your wife?
I did once, and I've been meaning to. I still have work to do on this one. I guess technically I would, you know, if today was December 31st, I would have satisfied this. But I would still like to, you know, get into more of a regular cadence of playing video games with my wife. And I have some ideas of what games we would play together. But yeah, just a reminder, we played a little bit of... what's that cooking game called? Overcooked on Switch. We didn't kill each other. But yeah, we actually have some friends who recently moved to the same town as us. And we've been talking about having like a Friday night game night kind of thing, which when you hear game night, you think board games. But I think it'd be fun to power up the Switch and play some Mario Party. Or I bought that game last year. Keep Talking So Nobody Explodes. That game would be really fun. Yeah. The problem is you just kind of have to teach people a little bit how to play. But yeah, so I do need to work on this a little bit more. But I think I'm well on my way with this one, too.
Now, Dave, you said there, you made the statement that if this were December 31st, you would have technically achieved this. And you also said you've only played one game one time with your wife. Does that mean last year you played zero? Okay. Noted. Brandon.
Yes.
Have you beaten Red Dead 2 or GTA 5?
Sorry, before he answers, I think about this at least weekly. Has Brandon played Red Dead 2? Because I see him wasting his time with Elden Ring. You're wasting your time, dude, Brandon. You're never going to get anywhere with Elden Ring.
He's got like 4 playthroughs of Elden Ring going right now.
It's like I feel so guilty every time I play something I want to, because I'm like, the fucking Arthur Morgan's looming over me. We just need a little bit of money. Arthur, Brandon, play the goddamn game. No, I haven't.
Have you installed it?
Okay.
Yeah, I still haven't installed.
Have you updated it?
I got a lot more memory recently, so if it's not installed, it's getting installed.
Now, Brandon, I just want to remind you, we all set these resolutions for ourselves.
I know.
I just want to remind you.
I know.
I want to remind you.
And I regret it.
Brandon, have you streamed 3 times a month so far this year?
Yes, I have. So in January, I streamed 6 times. In February, I streamed 3 times. And in March, I streamed twice on the 17th, which I don't know that that counts, but they were both like multiple hours in a row.
That's still one. Wait, how long separated the 2 streams?
Hours?
Okay. See, you're streaming. I'm like, if I'm not streaming for 5 hours, what's the point? And you're like, I've been going for 45 minutes. Probably good to wrap it up now.
No. So like in the beginning, when I was getting my streaming legs, they were a little bit shorter, but the past couple sessions have been much, much, much longer, and it's actually felt really good. So I think I did like 2.5 hours yesterday or something like that. So
now, Brandon, you've already updated us on this, but I'll ask you anyway. Have you 100% of the game on Steam?
Yes, I 100% ed Maneater and the DLC, which I had never played previously. And there was no caveat to whether or not it needed to be a game that I hadn't played before. But I bought it fresh this year on Steam, never before purchased.
But you did platinum it twice on PlayStation. I just want to, you know.
It doesn't matter.
You can pass the test, but the asterisk on there saying you might have cheated is always going to be there.
That's okay. I don't even care if the teacher knows I cheated. If I pass, bitch, bye. C's get degrees, baby. I don't give a fuck. You know, like bye. So not only did I buy it, never previously owned on Steam, 100% of it, but I 100% of the DLC as well, which I never played and actually disliked very much. in fact, the DLC was the worst part of the entire game. So I'm still leaving myself room. I did this kind of like as almost like a failsafe. Mm-hmm. I still potentially plan to see if maybe I can squeeze in another 100% somewhere. But I thought if I just banged this out, it took me like 20, 25 hours, something like that. I don't know. I'd have to look again. But and now I'm set. So I got two done in my absolute, well, not two done. I'm still working on the one every month. But
it's ongoing. But it's you're not behind, at least.
I'm not behind. Not yet. So, and then the Red Dead, you know, that's going to haunt me for months here. So,
yeah. Mine, play and beat Mass Effect 1 Remaster. No. Say no to multiplayer and or co-op when he doesn't want to. I know that's very subjective, but I have done that. I pretty much haven't played multiplayer with anybody if I haven't wanted to all year. There was one time where I think I might have ticked off one of my friends, or an acquaintance, not really a friend, but that's okay, because I said no.
Fuck.
And then play more with the kids. I've been playing a lot of. I haven't even mentioned this on the show. I've been playing a lot more.
Bed Wars.
I've been playing a lot with my kids, but I've been playing Bed Wars in Fortnite specifically with the kids. We're playing probably twice or three times a week. Which already I have played more this year with my kids than I think I did in all of last year. But I'm still going to keep doing it. It's not just for the resolution.
Ben.
I
got to hop in one of the times when you guys play because I want to fucking demolish your kids.
It won't be fun. I can assure you.
I know. No. It'll be fun for me.
No, it won't. I promise you.
Why?
Because it's not a challenge. And
but you'll be there too.
I'll be there too, but...
Ben, it's always fun killing you in video games.
You know, if we were to let them team up and you and I were to only go after each other and they had to, they might actually stand a chance.
We should do that. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll see. But they don't have Discord or anything. So
they don't have to hear me.
Yeah. It's probably better if they don't, to be honest with you. Probably
I agree. Better if they don't. I agree.
Yeah. That's the resolution quarterly check-in. Let's move on to what we've been playing. Dave, your list is blank, or was blank when I looked at it.
Oh, sorry, I just didn't add anything in there. It's been a good week for me. I polished off Metroid Prime just the other day, actually. So nice to have that one behind me because I was mentioning last week how like the last area of the game was very difficult and. The last two bosses of the game were also really, really tough. I don't know if Metroid, the series, is known for its bosses, but between Metroid Prime and Metroid Dread, like, bosses are no joke. The last boss of the game is a two-phase boss and took me several tries over several days. And it was kind of sweet because... the time I beat it, I went into the second phase of the final boss with such low health that I was just like, there's no chance, but whatever, I'm not dead yet. And then I clutched up, got a couple health pickups and GG easy. It was, you know, in the bag, that one behind me. I love when that happens.
Nice.
But yeah, Metroid Prime, it kind of leaned in, like in the second half of the game, it kind of leaned into this like mechanic of this weapon kills this enemy, so you're constantly just switching between your weapons. I think Metroid Dread did something similar, which makes me think that it's kind of like a series theme. But I think when playing it on the GameCube, it's a little bit annoying just because you don't have dual analog, so between trying to aim with the archaic way that you did on the GameCube controller and then having to switch through your different weapons, which wasn't always responsive, it kind of made it feel less like this is a challenge I have to overcome and this is just more of an annoying thing that I have to do. And then like the second phase of the final boss does this thing where you have to cycle through your different visors to actually see the boss, which I thought that was really cool. But overall, I really like Metroid Prime. I think it's a classic for a reason. And again, I think if I went straight to the remaster, it would ruin this for me because I'm pretty sure the remaster has dual analog, which makes a big, big difference in a first-person game like this. So, glad that's behind me. I think I'm going to jump back into Luigi's Mansion later this week. The other game I've been playing is going to make one of you very proud, but I jumped into Dark Souls 3 last week.
Yes, dude, summon me in.
Actually, when I was watching your stream last night, and you, me, and Ed were talking about PC builds, that's just when I was giving Crystal Sage the old "How's your father?" Live on stream. So, yeah, I've owned this game for quite a while. I kind of went through a phase where I like spent an embarrassing amount of hours watching full playthroughs of the FromSoft games. Specifically Dark Souls 3. So like I'm very familiar with this game. There's no real surprises for me, but I haven't actually played it to completion. In fact, when I first bought it, I think I got to like Vort and I killed him and he's like the second boss, but I just stopped playing. I guess something else came. But I, like many other people, have been thinking a lot about Elden Ring lately. But I thought instead of starting another Elden Ring playthrough, I'd rather play something I haven't played before. So it's been nice playing Dark Souls 3 just because I think I've played enough FromSoft to be able to say that I think I prefer the more traditional linear design of Dark Souls over Elden Ring. That's not to say I don't like Elden Ring. I love Elden Ring. It was my game of the year for 2022, but I really kind of like the focus of, you know, the more linear design of Dark Souls. And I'm trying to focus a little bit more on pickups and making sure I pick up everything that I can. And I just have to remind myself with any FromSoft game, like you don't need to kill every enemy. Sometimes running your ass off is the best thing to get through an area. You know, you're going to lose your souls. You're going to die. It's okay. You know, if you treat a game like this as an exploration game, then I think you're going to have a good time. So yeah, Dark Souls 3. We'll see how far I get, but I'm making good progress so far. So I think
I got platinum, it,
didn't you, Brandon?
You did. Yes, I did. You could do it too. It was awful. just the one trophy. What are you using? Weapon?
I'm an axe boy in all of these games, so I'm using the Vandals or something. I picked up in like the third area. So yeah, I just like axe. The one I got though is actually pretty slow. So I think I'm going to stick with it because there's something about axes that make me feel cool in FromSoft games. So what was what was your go-to?
I'm always a strength, Chad. Yeah. Always.
I'm only leveling vitality, endurance, and strength. Strength. So
strong.
Yeah.
Brandon, I would love to, and it wouldn't be a better punishment or anything, but I would love to force you at some point to do a full playthrough of, let's just say, Elden Ring as like, what would it be? A magic character, a character that has to stand back and cast.
Well, so I say I always do this, but I've played Elden Ring I've played it enough times that I have a mage build.
Yeah.
I have a faith build now. I have a faith dex build.
But are you still up in their? Are you up in their face sometimes still with those?
I think what Ben is asking for is a crossbow only challenge run.
Yes,
crossbow only or dagger. Well, I guess I'd still have to be up in their face. But
I just know that you are very much like me. When I play almost anything, I want to start out as the strong tanky character.
Sure.
And it's such a challenge when I play like a game where you need to pick different classes and I need to play with other people to be the character that's not up in their face slashing them.
Dude, yeah. I am always glass cannon.
Yeah.
Like low health, high damage. Like I was talking about this last night on the stream. I will pump a point into whatever gives me one damage or two damage. Like it probably doesn't make sense and I probably could use it in another one, but most of the time I'm just dumping pure damage.
Chat says, Brandon, for your resolution for Red Dead, just keep telling the others that you have a plan.
Boys, I got a plan. We're just going to need a little bit of money.
Dave, is that your?
That's all. I played a little bit more of Mario Wonder, but that's just kind of my pickup and play game randomly. Ooh. So, yeah,
nice.
Otherwise, that's
it's it a is. Good game for that.
It certainly is.
Unless you want 100% it, then you got to get locked.
But I
in.
See. I think I am doing that, Ben.
Yeah.
And I feel when I leave a level not clearing it like completely, I feel dirty. Like I feel
you got like that unclean. Itch, like a twitch.
Yeah. It's not cool. So I think I may actually 100% it, but we'll see.
Yeah. Let me know once you get to the last few levels. I'll be interested to see what you're saying.
Also, when you did it, I remember you telling us about it, and that's the thing that's in living in my mind rent free, telling me don't bother with this. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I would take my advice if I were you. Brandon, what you got this week? I bet I can guess.
Would you just guess? So I've only played like one or two sittings of Helldivers. I mostly am just playing it with the boys now. That's going to be all I'll say about that. Still enjoying the time I had with it. And I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring. Actually, mostly Elden Ring. On two different consoles. Well, two different ways. So like I've been streaming. So I've been playing on PC. And then when I'm done for the night, sometimes I'll go out and play on the couch, which is on my PlayStation. And I have two different characters. So, yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. I don't know, man. This game always amazes me. It's just, it's too good. Too good. I won't belabor my point because I've been talking about these games for like 3 weeks now. But
like 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's it.
For me, I've put a lot more time into Helldivers. The new patch has been good. The mechs are a lot of fun. I think we talked about that last week, but I don't have a lot to say about that. I did record a full like 2 hour episode for Last Stand that comes out Saturday, all about Helldivers. But it's nothing I haven't talked about on the show, honestly. Dave, I forgot about this until you brought up Metroid Prime and you mentioned Metroid Dread. I did play a little bit of Metroid Dread this week. I've had it for a while sitting there. I was finally like, you know what, I'm gonna play this. I got about half an hour into it and just could not I could not contend with this one Emmy. And I think is the strategy, Dave, so I like put it away. I'm like, I'll get back to it when I feel like it. Dave, is the strategy with the Emmys to avoid them rather than confront them?
Yes, it comes to a point where you have to, like, you get this power up that kills them.
Yeah.
So when you get to that right. point, like, you, the point is you have to take them out. But other than that, it's just
right.
you avoid their areas as much as you can.
Okay. I was trying that after a million times of dying because I was like, man, what am I not doing here? Because I know there's like a counter mechanic if they do catch you. And I could nail the counter. I did it.
I don't even know why that counter was put in the game for the Emmys, because the window to hit that counter is so minuscule. I think of the.
And it seems to change every time.
So it's just avoid until you get that power up and then you take them out and it feels really, really good once you do. But yeah, overall, the Emmys are
okay.
They suck.
Yeah. So that's about all I've played of that and probably will be all I play for a while. More Deep Rock Survivor for me. It's my Steam Deck game right now that I rock when I need a Steam Deck game. And I'm still enjoying it and running through all the different levels, and I like the grind of it. And it's just kind of soothing to me. But the one thing is that I'm to a point where I think I'm on the last challenge in each of the three worlds that are out. And I think a new one comes out tomorrow. They're putting out a new map tomorrow. But I'm at the last like challenge level of each of them, and I just cannot, I can't do it. I can't complete them. And I don't know if it's a skill issue or if I'm doing something wrong, if I'm not upgrading the right things, if I don't understand, but I'm still having fun with it though, regardless. It's very, you know, hits the right dopamine center or something like that. And then the final thing is Rebirth. I don't really have a lot more to say about Rebirth. I've probably put another 10 or 15 hours into it since I talked about it last week. And I have not done anything new. I've just been doing open world stuff, playing playing Queen's Blood, just doing mini games and side stuff. I'm in like chapter 9 right now, which is apparently gigantic, which I'm not complaining because I'm loving the game. I'm still not to the point where I'm like, okay, let's just move on. So that's a very good sign because I am very much a okay, let's just move on kind of gamer a lot of times. And this is, it's hitting all the right spots, scratching all the right itches. You know, Tifa's scratching my back occasionally, so I'm having fun. I like it. I do wonder if I will get to that point because I think there are 14 or 15 chapters and I'm only at 9, and I think there are a couple other ones that are pretty large, and I'm like, am I gonna get tired of this? Am I gonna want to just see the end? But so far I'm chilling. I'm having a great time. And that's it for me. That's what I've been playing. That's what we've all been playing. And that's what's in the news this week. I'm Tom Brokaw. And I'm not going to do that. Boys, thanks for hanging.
Yes.
Chat, thanks for hanging.
Appreciate
it. Folks who are not in chat, thanks for listening, watching, whatever the case is.
Love y'all.
Don't forget, you can join us over on patreon.com/handsomephantom for as little as $1 a month. And you can join us on Discord for free. handsomephantom.com/discord. We appreciate you, and goodbye. The HP Podcast is sponsored by our proud patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following members are at the $5 level, and we appreciate their contribution. Toby Ryland, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Hoot, Boots, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, H-Trons, Nuke Dukem, Derek O., Grabalicious, Benji Bop, and Link.